Good evening and welcome to the Agar Meditation Group. We are resuming the meditations. Thank you so much for joining, all of you. We have been seeing a recent upsurge in the rattling on the earth. We've been seeing three volcanoes which have erupted. We are seeing so many floods. We're seeing all kinds of natural changes that are occurring. This is all part of a plan. The plan to raise the vibration of the earth. The earth has held itself very calmly waiting for us to wake up. The more resilient the earth is, the more lazy we get. And so finally, from 2000, close to 2012, to 2025, we've been pushing and refusing to wake up, just focusing on personal gratification, personal gains, being selfish to an unimaginable extent. And so now the earth is pushing itself, and it has given us three more years. And in the meantime, it just is asking us to wake up. So we have to, it's our choice whether we want to wake up or not. So if we choose to wake up and then we ascend to the higher plane of consciousness within our physical body, but if we choose not to wake up, and then we'll be dealt with accordingly by consciousness, and the appropriate results will manifest. So it is time that we align ourselves to consciousness, raise our vibrations, and stay in that vibrance. So what does it mean by raising our vibrations? So today we are talking about rising above the mind. So what is it exactly that we are discussing today? What is it exactly that we are going to practice today? The mind has multitudes of frequencies. Everything, literally everything that exists that we can see, hear, touch, feel, smell, and sense is a manifestation of divinity. Literally everything. Everything is a manifestation of divinity. Now, when we see something that we believe is negative, it comes from our own vibration. It is a manifestation of our own divine selves, moving from the divine self and falling into the body-mind-ego. And when we fall into the body-mind-ego, then we have good and bad, right and wrong, black and white, light and dark, sweet and sour. We have all these things coming. The opposites all exist in the manifestations of the mind. But in reality, there is nothing but God. And God is, as we know, is just in the name and form. But in reality, there is just Brahman, which manifests itself as the multitudes of names and forms. Sahasra Shirasha Purushaha. So, and to realize that divinity, to live in that divine essence where life is just possibilities. Everything that happens is for our own betterment. And all those kinds of possibility exist only when we align to the higher planes of awareness. Now, higher planes of awareness does not mean like climbing up a ladder, does not mean like going up a lift, which is just a mental figment of imagination. But when we say higher planes of awareness, it has to be understood in a different context, saying as deeper awareness. It's just kind of a reflective analogy. It's just deeper conscious states of consciousness. And we get into that deeper states of consciousness, then we disconnect from the mind, we disconnect from all the vibrations, and get into a plane of oneness or close to oneness with the divine. And that's what we mean by rising above the mind. So God, as we all know, whenever you see any player we see on the television, when he or she is assumes victory, they thank God. When we point to God, we always point it skywards. It's because in our figment of imagination, God is up there. It's because we believe that God is above all of us. So the mind believes above as a physical displacement, as somewhere in a higher pedestal. And that's the reason why we call it as a higher consciousness, higher, something that is at higher than the physical plane that we are existing in. And so we will now do these practices to rise above these vibrations. Now, what are these vibrations? These vibrations are nothing but anger, sorrow, fear, and then their manifestations, aggression, frustration, resentment, guilt. Then you have greed, envy, jealousy. Then you have grief, sorrow, sadness, unhappiness, anxiety, restlessness, unpleasantness, whatever is in the mind which prevents you from being one with yourself is a mental vibration. And that's what we are rising out of. We are going above it because we don't want that to arrest us. We don't want that to influence us further. And this practice can be done literally anywhere, wherever you are, so that you can rise above the frequencies. Now, why do we need to do it? Whenever you are in a situation where people are arguing, rise above the mind. Wherever you have people who are intimidating you, rise above the mind. Whenever people are blaming you, rise above the mind. Whenever people are scolding you, rise above the mind. Whenever people are ordering you, when they are doing anything to you, rise above the mind. When you rise above the mind, you step out of the ego. When you step out of the ego, then you stop participating in any nonsense that's happening outside. All right? So that's what rising above the mind is literally for. You are constantly connecting to your own divine self. That's what we are doing. So the practice that we do here is primarily connecting to the two meditations. One is the Maypole meditation and the Cosmic Tree meditation. Both these meditations are very powerful practices. Though they are called meditations, they are literally not something that takes you into a state of meditation. It is something that starts you off by calming you and deepening your awareness so you can get into that state of meditation. So the process is quite simple and straight. So you are meant to keep your Wi-Fi on, but not your phone. Keep it aside. Don't distract yourself every now and then. It's important to stay connected with this practice because any kind of disruption can actually prevent you from experiencing the connectedness with the practice. So firstly, I'll be giving you instructions of visualizing that you are sitting in a golden circle of light. And this is a visualization. And then I'll ask you to imagine a tall pole with many different colored ribbons hanging from a sphere at the top. And then it'll follow. So listen to me carefully and please do the practices as I'm instructing you to. So I have a question. Does it mean we should detach completely from the reality around us? So we cannot detach completely from the reality around us. It's not possible because I cannot say that this body called Mahesh, I can't speak like that. If somebody asks me, while I'm going to Hyderabad. So at the airport, if somebody asks me, what's your name? I can't say the name of me or my body. I don't have name. I don't have a name and form. This body's name is Mahesh Krishnamurti. The person will send me to an asylum. So you can't detach. So the two things here. One is every time remember that all experiences are temporary. All right? Life itself is temporary, but consciousness is all that exists. So this is one reality that we have to understand. And we use the mind because we have come here to experience divinity. It happens through a reflective experience, which means that I recognize love when I'm in love. I recognize sadness when I'm in sadness. But love is not a state of awareness. Love is awareness. But sadness is a state of is a mental state. Unhappiness is a mental state. All right. So what we're doing here is to reduce our attachment, not completely kill attachment. It's not possible. We are here to reduce our attachment. And the reason why we need to do it is because the more we are attached to everything that is physical, everything that we can touch and feel, the more we believe that this is mine and that is his or hers, the less I'm going to be connected to the divine self. So we have to be connected to the divine self and say that this is something that has come to me. I am given the resources to procure this item. And now that I have it, I'm going to use it to the best of my ability for all goodness of creation, of well-being of creation. So I have to have clear conscience. It's like when I bought a camera, the first thing I asked myself is, what am I going to shoot? So then it took time for me to decide, but then I decided that I'm going to click photographs that are going to make the people happy. When people look at these photographs, they should feel happy. So there is a conscious decision that we have to make at every juncture in our life. This is necessary, and that's what requires us to rise above the mind, because as long as you're existing in the mind, you're going to be arrested by it. It's going to hold you ransom. It's going to feed you all kinds of garbage. All right, so let's begin this practice. I want you to either sit on a chair. If you're sitting on a chair, then make sure that the level of the knees is a little below the level of the hips. That's because the back needs to be straight. And if you're sitting on the ground, make sure that your back is straight. Do not use a backrest. This is very important. Do not use a backrest. You can instead sit on a stack of pillows or blankets or on a platform or on a step so that your back is automatically straightened. Now, let me start with the instructions. Think, imagine, visualize, or feel, whichever is comfortable for you, that you are sitting in the center of a golden circle of light. If you are imagining any other color, it's absolutely fine. In your inner scene, see that you are getting up from your seat and walking up to this pole and hold on to a ribbon of whatever color that appeals to you. So think, imagine, visualize, or feel a tall pole with many different colored ribbons hanging from a sphere at the top, which represents your higher consciousness. Think, imagine, visualize, or feel a tall pole with many different colored ribbons hanging from a sphere at the top. The sphere represents your higher consciousness. You can replace it with any name and form of God that you worship, or you can even replace it with your guru. In your inner scene, see yourself getting up from your seat, walking up to this pole, and hold on to a ribbon of whatever color that appeals to you. And walk back to your seat, connected by this ribbon, as if it were a telephone connection between you and your higher consciousness. Now, ask your higher consciousness to send to you, through the ribbon, its relaxing energies. Breathe it in. As you breathe out, let go of any clutter in the mind. Let go of any overcrowding thoughts. Let go of any sadness, worries, restlessness, impatience that you may carry in any part of you, whether it is physical, mental, emotional, or any other. Now, ask your higher to send to you through the ribbon its healing energies. We all need healing, whether it is physical, mental, emotional, or any other. Breathe in this healing energy. And as we breathe out, let go of any pain and distress that which we may be carrying in any part of us. Let go of any anger, any guilt, any judgments that you may be carrying inside you. Now, ask your higher consciousness to send to you through the ribbon its cleansing and purifying energies. Breathe it in. As you breathe out, let go of all negative thoughts, negative feelings, negative memories, negative emotions that you may be carrying. Now, ask your higher consciousness to send to you through the ribbon its strengthening energies. Breathe it in. As you breathe out, let go of any tiredness, any weakness, or even a sense of fatigue that you may be feeling in any part of you. Now, ask your higher consciousness to center you through the ribbon, it's unconditional love, which is completely accepting and non-judgmental. Breathe in this divine love. And as you breathe out, let go of everything that prevents you from receiving this precious gift. Let go of any guilt, a sense of sadness, a sense of anger. If you have any blame or disappointment, send it all out. So breathe in this divine love. Let it circulate through your entire being. As you breathe out, let go of everything negative from the past. Come back to conscious awareness and open your eyes when you're ready. This particular practice of Maypole meditation is so strong, it can take us so deep into everything that we need in our life. Everything that we'll need will just walk into our lives, it'll just manifest in our lives. But we need to practice every day. Just practicing one day will not produce any result. But when we practice every day, it does produce results. We have seen this. On every single time, whatever we need, we are given. Everything that is needed just walks into our life. It's because we are always connected. When we are connected, then we just align with consciousness. Consciousness guides us. And it does not prefer one person over the other. Consciousness does the same thing to everyone because we are no different from it. We're all it. But when we are in the body, mind, ego, we have to beg for something to manifest because we believe that it will not happen. We believe more in the impossibility. We believe more in the fear of something not manifesting than something manifesting. The mind is something that plays us into a trap. Imagine the mind is so weak that it just exists in fear. The mind exists in sorrow, in losing. The mind exists in quarreling, in fighting, everything that is limiting, everything that can separate you from a beautiful experience. The mind can only thrive in suffering. And we believe in this weak mind. And we question consciousness, we question the power of consciousness. That which encompasses everything is something that we are unable to comprehend. We want to understand it. It's not possible. The only way is to align with it. It's like when your father takes the car and drives you, when you were a kid, your father took the car and drove you. Would you believe that you were sitting in the car and you still reached another place without moving a single toe of your leg? As a kid, you wouldn't believe, because for you, the only possibility is walking. But as you grow up, you understand that these possibilities do exist. We used to watch many movies. We used to watch many movies where we would find people talking on the phone, or people talking on the phone which is not connected by wires, people talking on a wrist, talking, connecting with a wristwatch. We watched all of that, and today all of it is real because somebody believed that this can happen, and so it happened. The belief that there is possibility is what makes things possible. I have a question. How to make the mind strong? You cannot make the mind strong. The mind is weak. You can't make a weakling a strong thing. There is, if you made the mind strong, it would create havoc. Being weak creates so much trouble. Imagine if the mind was strong. You are strong, and the mind is your tool. That's the way to understand life. You are strong. The mind is your tool. It's not that the mind is strong. Wherever there's fear, do not believe that it exists. The existence of fear itself is fictitious. Fear doesn't exist. The absence of faith and trust is fear. If you have trust and faith, anything can happen. When COVID happened, we had many holidays, and one of the holidays that we had was in the hills in Himachal Pradesh. My wife did not believe that she could climb mountains. There were very thin ledges that we had to cross, and she said, "I will stay here, you guys carry on." But believing that one step at a time will take us to the destination happened. When we returned, we were aghast. Did we really cross this thin ledge? Because at that time we believed, we had faith. When we returned, we questioned our own belief. We said, is this real? Did we really cross these thin ledges at 8,000 feet? It happened. All of you are driving the car. All of you who are driving two-wheelers. You're balancing the vehicle between your two legs. Nothing short of a miracle. Just because it's become a habit, you no longer recognize that you are doing something phenomenal. So rising above the mind literally means to align with the strength that you are. That's what is meant by rising above the mind. Now, how do we do this? How do we do this? So this is what I do. So every time a thought occurs, I imagine the thought is standing in front of me as a person. With my right hand, it's like as if you push something aside. You push something aside, I push the mind to the side. I say, you come to the side. I don't want to see you. You come to the side. It's like a servant is blocking your view. And you just move the servant aside, and he'll promptly move aside. And so you can have a clear view of what is in front of you. The mind is exactly the same as a servant. So imagine, let us now, for example, imagine something, anything for that matter, that you wish to see right now. It could be a house, it could be your ancestral house, it could be your town, it could be any friend, relative, sibling, children, parents, anything that you want to see, vehicles. Just visualize anything. Your land, a building, whatever. Now, this thing that you're seeing is right in front of you, right? It's your figment of imagination. It's in your mind. You're actually visualizing it. Now imagine just pushing it to the side as if you're pushing a curtain to the side. What happened to the image? Can you just text? Can you use the chat box to answer? What happened to the image? if you use your right hand or left hand to just move that image as if you're moving a curtain, what happened to the image? Blank. Anyone else? Umesh says it's blank. Anyone else? What happened to the image when you moved it? Anyone else? Dr. Parvati?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
The object disappeared from the...
Object disappeared. Right. Right. So everyone else says the same thing. Disappeared, disappeared, no longer able to view. It's blank for that moment. And then it reappeared. Exactly. This is correct, because the mind wants attention. The mind craves for attention. So every time, so the more you practice, the longer is your attentiveness towards the consciousness. As of now, your practice is aligning with the mind, which is why the mind takes precedence over the self. Even though the mind is weak and the self is all there is, we have practiced aligning with the mind so much that to connect with the self sometimes is fearful, sometimes the blankness is deafening silence, it takes us to fear, we believe that we are getting detached and that throws fear into us, and so we resort to chanting, resort to singing, resort to different kinds of practices which all are aligning with the mind. So there is another question. Can willpower overcome a weak mind? Willpower. Now, what is willpower? What is this will we are talking about? We're talking about the inner strength. Can it overcome a weak mind? Yes. When you recognize the mind is weak, yes. I remember an experience which I conducted many years ago where I shared this in the group where I taped a blue color tape. I sellotaped it on the floor and I asked a lady to watch that blue ribbon. This is not a very long ribbon. It must be about 6 to 10 feet long. And I blindfolded her and asked her to walk on the ribbon. And this lady believed so much in the mind that she believe that she's losing balance and she'll fall from a tall cliff. She assumed that the ribbon was placed as if like a hanging rope and she would fall off the rope. That was the state of fear that the mind created in her. But at the same length, if you believe that you will cross, it becomes an enjoyable experience. It's all in alignment. Where is your alignment? If your alignment is with God, then He will come and help you. If your alignment is with the mind, then suffering is guaranteed. So your choice. So every time there is a fear, fear seems so real. Every time there's a fear, just move it aside. Just say, I want to see clearly. I don't want to see fearful thing. I want to see clearly. So move it to the side. So every time you're sitting in your morning meditation, if you have thoughts, just move it to the side. I want to align with God clearly. I don't want to align with these thoughts. This is one way of rising above the mind. It's very simple. In the beginning, you have to do this multiple times, so it keeps going off and coming back, going off. Every time it comes, you have to push it away, push it away, push it away. But when you keep doing it slowly, you will see the train of thoughts will start reducing, and you'll see the gaps between the thoughts, and slowly you'll see that there'll be no thoughts at all. It'll take time. Professor Narasimhan says that he was reminded of Prahlada. Exactly. Yeah, he believed that God exists and God appeared. This happens to all of us. It happens to all of us. We have had amazing experiences. I'll give you a simple experience that we had it happened this year. My daughter wanted a license, and we believed God is helping. The RTO officer came to our office for a consultation. And I said, please come. And the next day she got a license. This is how God works. Now, what are the odds that the RTO officer comes to our office for a consultation? It only happens because we believe. Every time we need something, it happens. Every single time. The only thing that you have to do is believe. Belief is not blind. Belief that God exists is not blind belief. Now, God is a terminology that we have, but consciousness exists. Because even when I'm breathing, the heart is beating. Even when I'm sleeping, the heart is beating. Even when I'm sleeping, the lungs are breathing. Everything happens, whether or not we want it to happen or not. The body just takes care of itself. The plant just takes care of itself. The body similarly takes care of itself. It doesn't complain. It's because it's born of this earth and it breathes. It breathes prana. So nature is consciousness. Nature is governed by consciousness. Nature is consciousness. And when you align with that consciousness, you align with nature. Look at nature. It does not, if you're around, you get its fruits. If you're not around, it just keeps giving fruits to anyone who is willing to collect it. It is impartial. God is the same. It's impartial. It just keeps giving you. You don't need to ask. God only knows to provide. You don't need to ask. That's the beauty of this whole existence. And the only thing that you can do is to remind yourself. Every prayer is reminding yourself that God exists. All prayers, all forms of prayers, is just to remind yourself that God exists and everything is being already taken care of. And so you express gratitude that everything is being taken care of and nothing is being left to chance. I have a question. When body becomes sick, is it due to bad thoughts or poor consciousness? There's nothing called as poor consciousness. There's nothing called a poor consciousness. It's because of bad thoughts. You're right. What do you mean by bad thoughts? Thoughts that are weakening. Thoughts of fear, thoughts of anger, thoughts of sadness. This is what causes illness in the body. So you have a choice of aligning with the body or aligning with consciousness. And so every day, please practice these meditations, because aligning with consciousness is all that you can do. When you are on the deathbed, if you have not aligned with consciousness, then you will align with the mind, and the mind will deceive you. The mind will deceive you to believe that the body is discarding you. The mind will deceive you to believe that the body is discarding you, and you would want somebody to hold on to that body. While you are leaving, your time to leave has come. The mind will deceive you that the body is discarding you, is leaving you. So if you don't want that painful experience, then you can start aligning with consciousness. The fear that death is coming is so unreal, so fictitious. Because in reality, you are awakening from a dream. You are exiting this dream called life, which in the scheme of things is just a blip. You're believing in this blip so much that you don't want it to end. You don't like getting old. You don't like being incapable, which actually doesn't exist because your capability is only scarred and diluted by your belief in the mind. And so please practice every day. And how to practice these meditations? We have over 80 meditations on the website agarhealing.com. We have over 80 meditations. You can pick up any one of them and start. And all these meditations are just directions from consciousness. So every day before I start the meditation, every Saturday, I sit for a few minutes, connect with consciousness and ask, what do I have to share today? And it gives me through a thought or any other medium, and I start delivering. Because consciousness knows who is listening. It knows who needs the message. Every morning when I post these messages, someone answers me, this is for me. Someone says that every day. The consciousness knows who needs these messages. As a matter of fact, I am one of those people who is receiving and listening. And it doesn't, like I told you, consciousness does not say, you are the chosen one. No. I choose to listen. And when you also will listen, consciousness will give you all the guidance you will need. There is no partiality, there is no favoritism, there is no chosen one. We all are chosen ones because we all are just babies of the same parents, the eternal parents. We're all just one. So don't believe even for a moment that you are weak. Don't believe even for a moment that something is not possible. How can it be made possible is the question. The how. First, you go with what you need, express it explicitly, write it on somewhere, what you need, and then how to get it. When you ponder deeply, when you meditate over it, you will get the path. It will happen, no matter what it is. And that's the way to get to everything that you need. But we are not talking about anything that is worldly. We're talking about everything that you need, not your wants, not your desires, not an Apple Watch or not a Samsung phone. We're not talking about those things. We're talking about the fact that you don't have to struggle. You can just realize that the divine provides everything you need. And when it says no, you have to accept it. When it says no, don't buy it. You have to accept it because the higher consciousness knows. Consciousness knows that this is not right for you. I remember once I used to go to Mumbai for consultations. There was a doctor who used to call me. It was the month of February. I told him I'll come on the 27, 28, and 29. That was a leap year. I told him I'll come on 27, 28, 29. And he said, no, you'll come on 13, 14, 15. So I connected with consciousness. I asked 13, 14, 15. It said it won't happen. I told him it won't happen. He said, no, it will happen. I will get you the clients and you will come. I said, okay, if that's the way you want it. So I booked my tickets to reach Mumbai on the 13th and the return on the 15th. So I reached Mumbai on the 13th And as soon as I'm at his office, at his doctor's office, I receive a call from my mother, and she says, please fly back. You are needed here urgently. And so I fly back, and 13, 14, 15 pass. When consciousness says it's not going to happen, it knows very well that it's not going to happen. If you don't trust it, it will show you why you have to trust it. It'll show you lovingly. It'll not punish you. Consciousness is not a devil. It will not punish you. It will show you lovingly why you must not do something. So please practice every single day. Please practice, or else a time will come when you will need the guidance, that because you didn't have the practice, you wouldn't know how to get it. So don't depend on someone or something outside of your own divine selves. Please connect every day and start receiving the guidance from the divine consciousness. Start receiving the guidance from the eternal parents. It's necessary for all of us, unconditionally, to each one of us. I have a question. Can we say that consciousness is the message we are getting from the God? Consciousness is God. Consciousness is not the message. The message comes from consciousness. It comes from within us. I am occupying this body. All right? Now, if you look at, for a moment, we'll step into Indian philosophy. If you go into the Dvaita system, you say that I am occupying this body, I am Jiva, I am a part of Narayana, and so Narayana is Paramatma, and I am Jivatma, and I'm a part of the Paramatma. This is Dvaita. Advaita says is Jivatma and Paramatma is one and the same. So both of them are speaking the same thing. One is, until I realize that I'm a part of the divine, I'm just body, mind, ego. The other one says that I am divine, but I'm yet to realize it. So when you realize that you are a part of the divine, you start receiving messages. Okay, you are in Dvaita. For example, we are living in a Dvaita. In Dvaita, we are living. So we receive messages from the consciousness. So I believe that I'm receiving messages from consciousness. But when I am in Advaita, when I believe that I am consciousness, I am bliss divine, then all messages sprout from within. It's just an understanding of oneness and being a part of oneness. It's just one and the same. It's just looking at things with a different perspective. All right? So the messages sprout from within, or the messages come from God. Whichever way you want to understand is the same thing. So that message comes every single time. Every single time. To each one of us. And when you are tuned in, you receive it. When you have not tuned in, you don't realize that you're receiving messages. That's how simple it is. All right? So are there any questions? Are there any more questions? So please practice these meditations every single day. Do not give a holiday on Saturdays and Sundays. There is so much, there's so much to discover in this plane of awareness, the higher planes of awareness, so much to discover. It is so phenomenal. It is so phenomenal. It is so beautiful. It's excellent. So your Sangha, your community, whom do you connect with, has to be chosen appropriately. And that will decide whether you are connecting with consciousness or whether you are connecting with the mind. So please choose your friends, your associations carefully, and let them all be people who are connecting with consciousness on a day-to-day basis. If they're not, change your friends, change your associations. Because it's about you. It's not about them. It's about you. You have to align with God. And to align with God, you have to align with people who align with God. And that's the only way you can strengthen your practice. If you are going to align with people who talk politics, you're not going to be aligning with God. You're going to be aligning with politics. If you are going to align with people who talk motorbikes or fast cars, and that's the discussion that you're going to have, that's your alignment. Whereas if you are aligning with people who align with consciousness, then you are going to be aligned with consciousness yourself. So choose your associations carefully. It doesn't mean that you must not like fast cars or motorbikes or electronics or gadgets. You can appreciate all of them, but do not lose yourself in them. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Well, we have overshot the time by 7 minutes. Thank you so much for joining today. We'll connect again next Saturday. And until then, have a beautiful weekend and have a beautiful day.